Hi, Miller and Condon. Welcome back. Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Scott Dockerman toward the bottom of the hour on Iowa. He'll be a Carver Hawkeye tonight. We'll do the women, talk about the men as the curtain came down on the men's season last night, and do some football with Doc as well. Trent's plays of the day are coming up. But time to talk some Drake basketball. There's more news since we've come on the air when it comes to Drake. Connor Enright is now joined. Is there three now in the portal?
Well, four if you throw Tucker, but we know where he's going to end up.
Right, yeah, he's not officially in yet. Mm-hmm. So, and Brody's got no choice. He can't come back. So all the starters are gone. Adam Emenecker joins us. Of course, he went through this, although he was a senior at the time, too, when Keno took this team to the tournament and left right after that for Providence. Now we know that Tucker DeVries and his dad, Darren, probably... We know West Virginia bound. Hello, how are you, Adam Emenecker? Good to speak with you. Kind of a sad day in a lot of ways, right?
It is. And in some ways, I think a day of reflection, right? And I think really more than anything else, Trent and I were just talking off the air. I think you knew that this day would probably come at some point. And, you know, when you step back and think about it, there's a lot of reasons why right now, today is the day it makes sense. And, you know, I think just reflecting on the last 6 years of how awesome a ride it's been with Drake. And you heard Brian Harden talk about it in the press conference last night, that just how much better of a position mm-hmm. the Drake program is in today because of Darren DeVries, because of Tucker DeVries. There's a lot to be grateful for. But to the tumult that you mentioned a second ago, you know, a couple players entering the transfer portal. One thing I would caution Drake fans for, just because they're in the portal doesn't mean they're gone. I think actually if I'm a player, I put my name in the transfer portal in some ways because I want to make sure to keep my options open and know what's out there. But that doesn't mean I think any of the names you just mentioned, Attenwright, Kevin Overton, Connor Enright, the guys who have already kind of heard word that their names may be out there. I think for any of those guys, understanding what their options are, but I wouldn't be surprised if there's an openness, depending on the coaching announcement, mm-hmm. to potentially stay in Drake Blue.
So what if it is Marty Richter? Do you think that makes it easier for Enright, maybe for Wright to stay? I thought Overton was probably going to have multiple options, whether DeVries is still there or not. But what about Wright and Enright, those two in particular? If it is Marty Richter, is it more likely they stay as Bulldogs?
You know, I think the short answer is, from a program continuity standpoint, what you see with Marty Richter, and I think the outpouring of support you've seen with some of the former players, is that there is a cultural component of having him be the head guy mm-hmm. to continue what Darren DeVries built, which may help with the names you mentioned. What I'm not as privy to is the individual relationship with Marty Richter and Attenwright and Kevin Overton and Connor Enright, et cetera. But I do think Marty Richter has been one of the primary architects from a recruiting standpoint of this Drake roster. Now, in the short term, you know, that creates some of that stability. What I know Brian Harden, what I'm sure he's thinking about is, yes, to the short term, what does that mean long term? And let's make sure that if we're going the Marty Richter route, it's not only to keep some stability in the roster, it's because it's the right long-term decision. And that's just one of the things you have to balance.
Another name out there, Ben McCollum of Northwest Missouri State, has had a ton of success there, played there. Guy from the state of Iowa, Storm Lake, growing up is where he is from. A lot of people believe that maybe this is a job that he's had his eye on for a while. That's been at least out there in some of the rumors and rumblings out there. You know anything about McCollum?
Only a little bit, Trent, in the sense that he's had some wild, wild success yes. at Northwest Missouri State. And I think you look at the Josh Schertz model at Indiana State and mm-hmm. you see what he's done with Lincoln Memorial, building that program and now moving over to Indiana State in just 3 years and having a ton of that, not only Valley success, but national success. They're still going in the NIT and had a pretty good win yesterday. Yesterday. So, you know, I think that probably actually helps McCollum some. But I've also heard his name rumored in some other jobs across the country. So, you know, what's funny, the good and the bad, is you look across social media, there's a lot of people with a lot of opinions. Many of them know absolutely nothing outside of whatever they see on a screen in front of their face. But it would not surprise me if McCollum is one of those guys because of the success he's had at Division II, because of his Iowa background. This would be a place he would target and want to be. That both Marty Richter, because he got the interim tag, Ben McCollum, because of his ties, and, you know, the other two guys that I think of as being people that will be in the sphere, whether they would consider it or whether it's something that would be of consideration for Drake, Eric Henderson from South Dakota State, yeah, and then J.R. Blount, the Iowa State assistant. I think all four of those, you could talk yourself into why they're the right candidate. Which one is right? Mm-hmm. It remains to be seen.
Hmm. You know, as you think back, Adam, of course, you were gone at the when you guys got knocked out Western Kentucky. We knew that Keno was probably not long for Drake. He was going to have opportunities, and we knew very quickly after it was Providence. But the guys that were still left, because there was a decent chunk of guys that still had some eligibility. What was it like for them? And do you remember Sandy Hatfield Club, seemingly that if it wasn't her idea, it wasn't going to fly? That was just how I saw it from afar. How involved, if at all, they were in the coaching search? I guess is where I'm going. Will whatever remains on this roster, will they get a seat at the table when Brian Harden's ultimately going to determine who's going to lead the ship?
Yeah, you know, I think in the past, and part of it was movement for players was harder, right? So if I go back
excellent
to
point
2008,
yep,
it was harder for players to move, and so because of that, your first thought wasn't I'm leaving. Your first thought is how do we find a guy that's the right fit with these players? Well, I mean, even look at last year, Drake got 10 new guys in, and a significant chunk of those were from the transfer portal, and that was coming off an NCAA tournament berth and, you know, having the continuity with Darren DeVries and Tucker DeVries, right? And so I think in some ways the just the way you shape rosters and how things work from a college basketball standpoint, what a coach needs is different. Now, who might be involved? I think some of the names, if I'm thinking about who are the guys that are like the core to what would be next year's team, it would be the Attenwrights, the Kevin Overtons, the Connor Enwrights, Colby Garland, maybe even Nate Ferguson. Those would be the guys that if Brian Harden was going to solicit some player input, mm-hmm, those would be the ones that would maybe be of interest. But with the way they're looking potentially going in the transfer portal already, that probably makes it less likely that they would be involved in any of those decisions.
Let's rewind with you and go back, 15 years. When Dr. Tom decided to walk away, you knew Keno was getting the job and he was going to take over. But if we were in today's environment where you had free reign to transfer, I would guess, probably wrapping up your studies at Drake, when you looked around, you hadn't played a whole lot up until that point. If it was as easy then to transfer as it is today, would you finished up your career as a Drake Bulldog?
Hmm.
You know, it's an interesting question. There, after my freshman year, I did look into a couple of those other options just to know what does that look like, right? You couldn't have a lot of the formal conversations. And to your point, Trent, just the mechanisms of how you transfer is different. But I think the ones that create the opportunity, like I think about, let's say I had a fifth year. If I would have redshirted my first year and after my senior season going to the tournament, as they went through the coaching search, if for whatever reason I didn't really feel great about the person that was coming in and it was today's environment, I do think entering the transfer portal would have been a very real possibility just to see like what are other options are on the table. Mm-hmm. Yes, from an NIL standpoint, but just in terms of, you know, you look at a couple guys around the Valley this year, Marcus Domast still in the NCAA tournament, first team all Big Ten, played 4 years at Southern Illinois. And now he's one of the best players on a top 16 team in the country.
Yep.
You look at someone like Lance Jones, who did the exact same thing, Ben Cricky at Iowa. So you have all these guys who played 4 years and paid their dues, so to speak, and now finding other opportunities. That I think I probably at least would have explored that at the time. But that also doesn't mean, you know, you have the background and what you built at Drake and the pride for the institution and the school and all your teammates. In some ways, I think that might have been a bit of a collective decision that the people you feel best about, the people you feel closest to, if they want to still be around, then running it back can also be kind of fun. So, you know, I think it's hard to speculate on what would have happened in the past, but, you know, hindsight 2020, had that been the scenario, would have been a lot of decisions, would have been a heavy few days trying to figure out what's next.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Adam Emenecker joins us. G-Make sponsors all of Adam's appearances with us throughout the Valley. You know, you made a good point, and I think we should maybe emphasize this here, that... Yeah, it's a tough day. You lose your coach. You lose all of your stars because Brody can't come back. But the transfer portal works both ways. And there were 10 guys that weren't on this tournament roster from 2 years ago that came to Des Moines and played this year. So, yeah, it seems kind of like rock bottom right now. But you know what? Guys are going to need homes. And there's something about the success that's been built there, the fact that you're in the second biggest city in the Valley. There's a lot of positives going your way, and the transfer portal works both ways.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the other thing, when you think about the head coaches that we're talking about pretty established guys that have had a lot of success. And that has not always been the case. It's been a little bit more... You know, I think when you look at that Drake job and you look at the Missouri Valley and you feel good about the competition, but the history, the lineage wasn't there. Well, now, shoot, Drake is coming off some national recognition, 3 NCAA tournaments in the last 4 years. And so just from an overall recruiting standpoint, from a brand recognition and understanding, even stylistically understanding what that means to play at Drake in the Valley, there's a little bit more awareness across the country. That rising tide does help when you get some of those recruiting conversations. And shoot, even some of the people we talked about, like I saw someone on X mention Eric Henderson and bringing Zeke Mayo, who had a really, really good game against Iowa State on Thursday. Kid Zeke Mayo, player of the year in that league, come over and be part of that package. And I don't know their relationship. This is all speculation. I don't know the background. But I think to that point, Ken, of roster building, well, maybe that even is a way to help bring together a roster more quickly and potentially keep some of the guys who've been here. So, you know, it's so much to be vetted out. But what it shows, too, is why decisions have to be made so quickly. Mm-hmm. And it puts a lot of pressure on the players. It puts a lot of pressure on the administration. And to not jump the gun in too much of a hurry, still make the right decision. But you see how quickly some of the dominoes can fall, to make sure you put yourself in a position to get the right guys out of the transfer portal.
Drake is in as good of a position as it's been as a basketball program in a really long time. I mean, 60s, 70s. We have to go back kind of the way that it's been built up here and the success we've seen recently. Why is that? Why was the Drake job what it was before and how it's become what it is and one of the crown jewels now with the Missouri Valley Conference?
Yeah, well, I think part of it, there's a number of things that play into it, and that's a great point, Trent, just of where we are today. And in many ways, I think Darren DeVries is going to be remembered, and like Maury John has been remembered for helping build that Drake program. A lot of it comes back to, well, when you win, the recognition follows, right? And so we've experienced a consistent winning program now the last 6 years, which just hasn't been in the cards for a number of reasons. I think the other thing that candidly is more of an attraction now than it has been in the past is the city of Des Moines. I mean, I do think the city of Des Moines is a destination now that a lot of people appreciate, like, and respect, because we are a little big city. And having that as you're bringing people from across the country, there's a lot of things that can be appreciated here. And, you know, you look at some of the investments that have been made as well, whether it's the practice facility and making sure that's up to snuff, whether it's just some of the on-campus stuff and the educational success Drake has had for people where that is a primary consideration. I think there's just a more well-rounded story than we've seen consistently. And having in the past and having that 6 years of success, again, that national brand recognition makes a big difference.
Little old Des Moines in the NCAA tournament rotation, which it's can't hurt as well. Adam Emenecker, Adam, thanks for what you did for us all season long. We truly appreciate your contribution. Love talking about the Valley with you. And once Valley play gets here January, February, and into March, and look forward to doing it again next year. Thank you, Adam, so much. We really appreciate it.
Sounds good. Lots to be vetted out, guys.
Indeed.
But, it'll be an interesting couple weeks.
Indeed. Buckle up. Thank you, Adam. Appreciate you coming on. Adam Emenecker, G-Migs, Valley Junction sponsors our friend Adam Emenecker. You know one name that we didn't put out there that I saw on X that I thought, I mean, he's a winner, but he's married, and she's coming with him. And that's Greg Marshall and his wife.
Oh.
And she's a piece of work.
Well, but he's pretty toxic, too.
Well, that's true. I mean, yeah. He hasn't coached for what? Has it been 5 years? No, not quite.
Right in that range, though.
And because he abused some of the Shockers.
Mm-hmm.
But he wins.
But he hasn't been touched by anybody. 2020
is that when
his
career
finished up. How about that? That was it.
I mean, it must have been really bad because this guy he wins basketball games. And she's certifiably nuts.
Several abuse allegations from both staff and players that went public on October 8th of that year.
Yeah, you don't want him.
Punching a player, choking an assistant. Other allegations detailed in The Athletic include Marshall telling a Native American player to get back on his horse and making Indian howling noises. Nope.
He's done.
Yep.
Yeah.
There's a reason he hasn't coached in 5 years.
Absolutely. We'll take a time out. We'll come back. Scott Dockerman will join us. We will catch up with Doc. He'll be headed to Carver tonight. West Virginia and Iowa, they collide 7 o'clock tip time, Trent, I believe. 7 o'clock
yes,
for this
7
one.
O'clock.
Of course, the game, if you can't be in front of your TV, turn on your radio and tune down the dial on the AM side anyways to News Radio 1040 WHO.
I did just that. Listened to Rob Brooks on the call.
Did you?
Yep, yeah. On Saturday, making our way north after the funeral and listened to that
one. When did you pick up WHO?
Well, I used the app.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I listened through the app, the Varsity app where you can get all the Learfields. That thing, by the way, if you're traveling,
and you've got slick.
It's amazing. You get radio calls for all the Learfield properties. Uh-huh. They have Westwood One coverage on there, so you can flip on that and get the national call.
Mm-hmm.
It was really good. Really made the drive both down on Thursday and coming back on Saturday and Sunday much more palpable. Being able to listen and hear the dulcet tones of whoever. And I flipped on the Duke James Madison game. I didn't know which one I clicked on because they were both right next to each other. It was the James Madison radio call. Boy, they were pumped up early.
Yeah, I bet.
And that changed very quickly for the radio crew.
Who
James
did
Madison.
The Iowa game last night?
Oh, the play by play?
And
the color guy was awful.
Terrible. Was that his first job?
You can see why they got the NIT call, right?
Yeah, for sure.
We've seen good broadcasters.
No,
on the
we NIT. Didn't hear. We didn't hear two of them last night.
That was not the 18.
That was brutal.
That was bad.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, we'll take a timeout. We'll come back. By the way, just one thing before we get to Doc, and you were listening to Brooks. Boy, Caitlin Clark, she pushed the envelope. Some of the stuff that comes with her. I mean, for her father, who I'm guessing didn't want the TV camera.
Right, exactly.
We couldn't pick the worst time for the camera to show dad telling his daughter to shut up.
Right.
But she needed to, and she needed a kick in the pants. She was out of control.
She revs hot. That's a part of what you're going to get.
But she, for even her, I thought she took it, because I've always been the one that, that's just her. This was even too much for me.
It was almost that it was the NCAA tournament, your last go around.
Right.
It was too much. And this West Virginia team, they're going to frustrate you.
Yes.
They've
already said as much, Trent. That's what they're going to do to
grab.
Her.
They're small.
Uh-huh.
They're quick. They're going to press all over the floor. They are going to make it uncomfortable. Big 12 Defender of the Year in Quinn Early. I mean, they got some players.
Yep.
And if those turnovers mount, as we've seen in the past, this thing could be a four-quarter game. The last two round of 32s, hair on fire last year to get by Georgia.
Yes.
Year before that, you get beat by Creighton.
Creighton, yeah.
Be ready tonight. Mm-hmm. This is not some swan song. This is not just roll out the ball and it's going to be all happy smiles all the way through. I think West Virginia, well, I'm grabbing the points.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm grabbing the points.
All right.
We'll get to that a little bit later.
We're going
to
grab Scott Dockerman. That's 12:25. He joins us next. It's Miller and Condon on Des Moines Sports Station 106.3 KXNO. All right, 12:30, Miller and Condon. Welcome back to Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Scott Dockerman momentarily from The Athletic. Trent's plays of the day still to come. He will get to those about 10 minutes or so before 1 o'clock. Scott Dockerman, he'll be at Carver tonight. The final game at Carver Hockey for the 2023-24 season. Hello, Doc, Trent, and Ken. Thanks for coming on. How are you?
I am great, guys. How are you doing?
Doing well. Appreciate you coming on. Obviously, we want to talk about the men a little bit, but the women clearly front and center. Boy, you were there on Saturday at Holy Cross. Put up a fight. Give them credit. Certainly the first 10 minutes, first quarter, they were in the game. Second quarter didn't go their way, but at least they put up a fight to begin with. I was surprised that there wasn't more mention about the what I thought was just an egregious, I think they called it a flagrant one. I mean, that shot that Caitlin Clark took right in the chops, I mean, that was on purpose, Doc, as far as I'm concerned, and I thought maybe should have even elevated to a two. How about that?
Well, I guess in thinking back, and, you know, we did ask Caitlin about it. She didn't think that it was intentional. Yeah, it was a heavy hit, and, of course, I've noticed on Facebook the worst, you know, spot on earth. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of people who think that she's faking it, that if she flopped, you know, it's just typical Facebook, you know, stuff. But no, I don't know. I guess, she took a hard hit. I think Holy Cross was very physical with her. And, mm-hmm. and that's certainly the template for what West Virginia is going to try to do tonight. That is, try to be physical with Iowa, see what they can get away with, because, you know, they are one of the best scoring defenses in the country. I think they're fourth best among power programs and averaging 57 points a game. They lead in steals nationally. So I think this is a matchup to where, the way the game is officiated, the balls and strikes is really going to have an impact in how this game goes through the course of the second half.
Not a very big team, but they're going to pressure up and down the floor, a lot of changing defenses, those kind of things. And you mentioned the defense. There aren't a ton of analytics out there from women's basketball compared to what we get with Ken Pomeroy and Bart Torvik. Did find one site, had them third in defensive efficiency in the country. So one of the better teams that they're going to see, certainly defensively, built a little bit different way. You go back, though, and you look at this Iowa team. When they kind of can play their style, they can beat anybody in the country, and we've seen that throughout here. How do you get everything revved up? You're changing lineups. Molly Davis has been out. Though they won the Big Ten championship, it hasn't exactly been perfect at this point in time. How do you ramp it up here after the round of 32, last 2 years, one loss and one tight one against Georgia?
It's funny because we have a certain expectation for this team, mm-hmm. and when it doesn't meet that expectation, then I'm as guilty as anybody. Then you start to look at, well, what went wrong, and they're coming off a 26 point victory at home in the NCAA tournament, and they did not look good doing it. I mean, I think we can at least early on that they struggled, and then part of that again is they were doing everything they can to antagonize Caitlin Clark, and it set them back a little bit. And I think that's what you've got to do if you're an opposing team. You can't let Iowa get out and run in transition and hit those transition threes and really attack, because they are the best team in the country when it comes to that. But now if you look at, if you could slow them down, if you cause them to get frustrated and turn the ball over, which of course West Virginia does an outstanding job of doing, and kind of muck up the game, then you've got a chance. And you've got to play to your advantages. You've got to play to win. And I think that's what we're seeing with some of these teams. Now, going against Nebraska in the Big Ten Championship a couple of weeks ago, you've got a team that I thought was playing at a high level at that point. And you've got, a rivalry factor. And it's just every single game is a little bit different. This tonight I could see it coming down to the wire based on if they allow them to play free and not call a lot of fouls, or if they do call something and West Virginia has to back off, then I could see Iowa winning by a blowout.
Mm. Hannah Stahlke apparently was a little bit under the weather. That's why she played as few minutes as she did. On the flip side of that, it allowed O'Grady maybe to see a little bit more of the floor, and I thought she really took advantage, Doc, of that opportunity. O'Grady in for Stahlke. We know Stahlke, if she's well, she'll get her minutes back. But it was good to see O'Grady stepping up and taking advantage of the opportunity.
Yeah, it was, because that's what what they needed this year. I mean, when they didn't go in the portal and they didn't get a post, a true center, that it was going to be some combination of Addie O'Grady, A.G. Ettinger, or Sharon Goodman. And Addie O'Grady has probably the most promise out of the bunch. And when she can play like that, and be physical when she wants to be, and what, go 7-9 from the field for 14 points, then their team becomes more complete. And if she can continue to do that, and, you know, it doesn't even have to be 14 points. It could be 8. It could be 10. You know, it could be something like that. But just space the floor and take up space in the post, I think that's just an added bonus here. And yeah, I mean, Hannah Stolke was a little bit ill. It was, I think it was a migraine or a headache that they just decided, well, let's just not mess with it today. And I mean, I can't imagine playing with a migraine. That's incredibly painful. But if she can play tonight and play effectively, she'll play a lot. And that'll be, you know, really critical, because the way she runs the floor, she's like a tight end. I mean, I kind of look at her as like a Noah Fant out there, because she's so fast and athletic, and she's the one that can really handle a lot of those passes from Caitlin Clark.
Well, we do know if they do get the win against West Virginia, Colorado will wait again in the Sweet 16. Saw them a year ago, and team that's got a lot of big wins again this season. That was a game that was a tight one until Iowa pulled away in the fourth quarter and got the victory. A peek forward even before we play this game tonight should be another good matchup. This path is not going to be easy for the Iowa women.
No, it isn't. And we know that, and we knew that from the draw. But this is the path, and you know, we wondered if it'd be Kansas State for a third time, and it isn't. I mean, Colorado is a team that, you know, started off the season strong. I think they beat LSU in the opener on opening night, and now you know, await Iowa or West Virginia. But if it's Iowa, then you've got a Sweet 16 rematch, and that's you know, you've got some motivating factors for a Colorado that they're going to want to win and take out Caitlin Clark if it gets to be that matchup, and that's understandable. So I think in this case, you know, that you've got to overcome that and play your game. And again, it really comes down to how Iowa competes. If Iowa plays well, plays loose, if Caitlin Clark plays with, you know, she plays with passion every time, but sometimes it consumes her a little bit.
Like for Saturday, yeah.
Yeah, I think if she could smile a little bit more, look like she's enjoying herself, then that just radiates throughout the whole team. So I think that's really going to be a real critical factor, you know, to whether or not this is the last game, next weekend's last game, or the following weekend, their final game.
Yeah, Doc, it's I heard the question about, or the comment, and I guess was her answer about maybe I should smile more. I mean, I don't think that's crazy to ask. I know how that she's obviously wound very tight, which goes a long way in making her the phenom that she is. It's part of her. But if she toned it down just a little bit, because and did smile occasionally, she's really marketable now. I think she'd even take it to another level. Do you think we'll see that out of her, Doc? Do you think that she will kind of not mature a little bit, but maybe show that side of her more, that she, you know, that this is fun and it doesn't always have to be, you know, the way as serious as she takes it?
That's a great question, and I'm probably not the best person to answer it, and knowing people really know her can, but I wonder, you know, she's been under such an intense, you know, microscope.
Without a doubt.
For so long. Yep. For a full calendar year, where every move has been documented, every move has been documented. She can't go anywhere without being recognized. She can't, you know, really even go on campus or the mall without, you know, having people swarm at her and stuff. So I wonder if just the totality of everything that's come out is now kind of gotten to her a little bit. And then hadn't for the whole season. She seemed to be fine, Teflon, if you will. But it just seemed like she was wound so tight the other day that if anything didn't go her way, she just kind of lashed out. And I guess it's one of those things where it's almost like if you don't sleep very well for a few days or a week, and then something small could just set you off. That's kind of the way it seemed like for her the other day. And the reminder to smile, that's just part of, that's not like, you know, because she's female or anything. It's just a matter of her being a, you know, to lighten up, because that when she smiles, that it changes her, and that's something everybody's always talked to her about. So I think that's the reason why she brought it up, and that's why I think she'll make an effort to do that. You know, and once you get in the game, who knows?
Season is over for the Iowa men. They fall last night to Utah. Same old song and dance. Defense is atrocious, and rough performance for a couple of your better players. Tony Perkins was not good. Same for Peyton.
And hasn't been, Trey.
Yeah, and Perkins definitely this last 3 weeks has really been a rough go for him.
He's got to be hurt.
Fran McCaffrey going forward. He's going to be the coach next year. I don't see anything that is going to change that. He's going to be there. How do they reinvigorate the fan base? How do they get them back short of a run to a Sweet 16? What can be done to make this thing improve? Because it just it feels like almost a dead program walking right now, even with all the successes they have had.
That's a multi-million-dollar question, Trent. Yeah. I mean, you know, how do you invigorate a base that's fairly apathetic right now? I mean, there's still passion, there's still desire, but short of going out and getting a couple of five stars and really touting it, it's hard to see where it could end up, and without it being the same old, same old. And I think that's where Iowa basketball struggles. It's going to take a significant marketing campaign. They're going to have to try to do something different to energize the base that really isn't energized, and it's something that's a little bit foreign to Fran McCaffrey. He's not the type. I mean, he'll talk at public events when required, and he does his work there, but he's not the type to go up at the stands and, you know, just shake hands with everybody there and you know, hold court and with fan bases and stuff, and I don't know if short of that, if anything's going to work. I mean, you know, they've had some good success. They've won a lot of games. You know, this year was a great coaching job, I think, overall by him. But, you know, we it's like they've hit the ceiling, and the ceiling's pretty low, and that's the problem. And unless they can find a way to move the ceiling up and then fans follow suit, you're going to see the same thing next year, whether or not they're better. I mean, you could see, I don't know, Tony Perkins has a year if he wants it, you know, whether it's at Iowa or somewhere else, or he could go pro. Peyton Sanford is probably a second-round draft pick. Mm-hmm. You know, will he want it or will he return? And a lot of that NIL actually makes that a little bit more appealing for returning to Iowa, if you think about it that way. But there's just, you know, they do have to have kind of this summit, the come to Jesus meeting, if you will, mm-hmm. to see how they can energize the space, because the last time they've sold $4 million worth of tickets was 2005.
Jeez.
You know, so you're talking almost 20 years. And I've seen the kind of wayward progression of this program, and it's just, they can't continue to energize the base. You've done it, Trent. We've all seen it. Mm-hmm. So how they do it in the future, it's going to depend on him, Beth Getz, and all the great minds of their marketing team.
It's time to dust off Let's Get Mad Again. maybe not. That didn't go over well. Doc, thanks for popping on. Any football, anything football percolating that you want to share?
Well, tomorrow we've got, Kirk Ferentz talking.
Here we go.
So I imagine he'll have, whether it's a statement or a brief quote or two about the Caden Proctor the situation. And then I think, you know, we'll talk a lot about offensive coordinator, the changes or the ideas or thoughts that Jim Lester has brought. And I think, so we'll get a good breakdown of this team and where it sits right now, about three practices into the season.
Wouldn't it be wild if Proctor played at Kinnick this year,
mm-hmm.
week two?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure you've seen that, Doc. I don't know what to make of it. We shall see. Scott Dockerman from The Athletic. Doc, thank you. As always, Scott Dockerman, will read as we do all your work at The Athletic. You and your colleagues do a terrific job. Money well spent, and we'll talk with you next week. Thank you, Doc. Appreciate it as always.
All right. Have a wonderful day. Thank you.
See you, buddy. Good to talk to you. Scott Dockerman as we check in on the Hawks. 12:45. One more name for Drake.
Oh, okay. You got another one.
I do, and it's...
what are we throwing out? About a half dozen here? Maybe eight?
One that we've mentioned the name two or three times in the show, but never connected it to the opening that's now at Drake.
Fran McCaffrey.
No.
Oh, okay. We've mentioned the name. What do you got?
Keno.
No!
What's he doing?
Maybe starting a showbiz pizza.
Keno Davis.
Flamed out of Providence. Flamed out of Central Michigan.
How did he do with Drake?
Great for 1 year in a ready-made program.
No, Adam Emenek was on the bench.
Yeah.
I mean,
he saw that.
Pops, come on. You're a hell of a coach, and you missed this?
Well, come on. Dr. Tom's a Hall of Famer. Keno is a flameout. Want to bring Keno back?
I'm just bringing him out. Would that placate the fan base? What would they do?
I would hope not.
Would there be?
I hope there'd be
torches,
yes.
Pitchforks.
Keno Davis.
What? Flip Saunders' kid, Tom Davis's kid. Of my two ideas on coaching jobs,
they're both off.
They're both bad. Okay.
He is the head coach for the Flint United.
For the what?
The Flint United. They are a member of the basketball league. TBL.
What basketball league? The basketball league.
That's what Keno's up to, and you want to bring him back.
No, I'm just throwing it out there. I mean, he had success.
A year of success,
and cashed in Providence, where it did not go well.
He had a decade at Central Michigan.
And how did it go?
In return, four postseason appearances.
Well, that's not bad at Central Michigan out of 10.
An NIT, lost in the first round. A CIT, lost in the first round. Another CIT, and a CBI, losing in the first round.
So he's been to all of them.
He finished up his last 2 years, 14 and 18, and then 7 and 16.
Never mind that. Well, how's he done at Flint?
That record is not listed on his bio.
Trent, you're talking about, how can they not list it? We're talking about the basketball league.
The basketball league.
So what you're saying is you don't think the Keno Davis thing is one of the ones that we should have left that one in the...
Don't think so.
In the old mind?
No. They've gone through a bunch of name changes. They were the Flint Firebirds, then the Flint Bucks, now Flint United.
Flint United.
They've only been around for 3 years.
I'm telling you, stranger things have happened. I'm trying to think what it was like when he... I mean, the fan base was beside themselves.
What did they expect?
Of course.
He made a million.
The next guy that comes and has success and gets thrown millions... Because we don't know yet what DeVries got. It got to be, what, $3 million a
Probably,
year?
Probably, yeah.
How do you say no to $15 million? I don't know what he's making at Drake. Is he making $500,000?
Maybe a touch higher than that, but
touch?
Yeah. $750,000, probably in that range.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be surprised by this. It's just
no,
reality.
You can't. No, and I don't think Brian Harden was surprised
no,
by
not
it.
At all.
I think he's pretty buttoned up, and I would anticipate that he saw the writing on the wall.
Yeah.
Trent's Plays of the Day next. Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO.
It's time for Trent's Pick of the Day. Brought to you by Circa Sports Iowa. Here's Ken and Trent.
All right, Miller and Condon, welcome back. Circa Sports sponsors the Plays of the Day. That Ohtani press conference that we were looking forward to, that's not happening.
No.
No, he's called it off. He's going to read a statement and not take questions. Why bother?
Yeah.
Nobody cares. I'm sure it'll be, 100%.
Well, you got lawyers involved now.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Should have been the first place before maybe they took him to ESPN. What are you betting?
We're going to bet starting in 5 minutes. How about a little Notre Dame Ole Miss women's hoops? We got four women's basketball games coming up today, and we kick it off. Ole Miss pulled off the big upset a year ago against Stanford in the round of 32. I like the Rebels, plus the 8.5. This is dangerous. I have four women's plays. All of them I have underdogs. That's not a way to make money. Syracuse plus 19.5 against UConn. Oklahoma and Baranchuk and company getting 8.5 against Indiana. And West Virginia plus 15.5 against the Hawkeyes. Plus one more underdog tonight, Portland. I mean, underdogs got to hit at some point. It can't be all favorites all the time. Back in the state of Iowa.
This weekend.
Fingers crossed. Let's go, dogs.
Away you go. Murph and Andy, 5 minutes away. The Drive with Heather and Sean, 3 to 6. Tomorrow morning, of course, it'll start all over again. The Morning Rush at 6. We are Miller and Condon, weekdays from 11 to 1 on Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO.